This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Funeral is past 4 p.m. Tony Colombo is out for a funeral. He'll be back tomorrow. Sue just got in the air flying to Barcelona, where the whole city's melting down. That should be just perfect. Look for her on NBC Nightly News probably tomorrow. And then she's gone for 2 weeks, unless she gets put in jail, it'll be longer. And Tony will be gone next week to Disney World. And so Tim's with us today. Bo's going to be coming in. Trish going to be coming in. Skip will be coming in. And it's just going to be kind of a variety show.
Hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge, yes.
I heard you almost say Disneyland and you stopped yourself.
Yes.
I get anxiety whenever I have to pick one of those to say, because the Disney people are like, no, Disneyland's on the other side of the country.
You don't want to piss a Disnoid off.
No.
No,
they,
for
sure.
They're
very protective of their Disney stuff.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I always just say Disney now. Going to Disney.
The other day, it came up, I think on our show, but we were referencing something else. Hey, is it okay for grown-ups to go to Disney without kids? Oh, my Lord. Talk about a backlash.
Oh, my. That's so funny, because we've had that conversation on our show. It was a while ago, and they don't even bring it up anymore because so many people.
Oh.
I think it was before my time. They were talking about like adults going, and they're like, we'll never talk about it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that wild? Well.
Now, for me, having been several times, I think it's totally cool to go without kids, and Disney has really worked to make it adult friendly, and there are adult nightclubs and the whole bit. But if I didn't know that, I would probably be making fun of people like, you know, Table for One and Chuck E. Cheese kind of thing.
Yes.
So I see why people do, but man, when people are either like, I love Disney, I haven't been in years and years and years, I would love to go again, but I know people, some people like very close to me, who just, they live for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely know those people too. More of them in radio than any other
that's true.
World
yeah.
of my life yeah. that I've been in. But yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think they're also, who they were kind of joking about is like, leave the kids at home and go
and
down
let's go to
Florida
Disney.
For a few days, as opposed to, but yeah, I would say like, I've been several times over the last few years to both, and it's the best. No kids involved.
Preview the next hour?
Yes, we're going to do headlines here. Dave Murray will give today's forecast in the next segment. Get to hear some famous Dave Murray and Tim Convey rivalry intention.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's been a bit.
It is fabled. And then at 4:40, we're going to talk to someone about everything going on in China, Hong Kong, with the NBA, LeBron James's comments. He's a former State Department senior advisor for George W. Bush. And I believe he was with Trump as well, Christian Whiten.
See, here's the thing. I give people trouble for talking about topics that they don't really understand. I think that unless you can talk intelligently for 60 seconds, you should shut your mouth. And I cannot talk intelligently for 60 seconds on the interaction between China and Hong Kong. So I'm going to get someone on who can, so that I don't have to make it up, because that's what I would have to do.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is China bad, Hong Kong good, and that's.
Yes.
But I couldn't tell you exactly why that is.
Yes, I cannot help you there. I think I know some stuff, but I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, me too.
To see if what I think is accurate.
We've already been wrong about flies throwing up.
Yeah, we learned that lesson.
I don't know. We've had more developments since just the blanket statement of fake news.
Is there a Twitter fight about it?
Well, Christian said, he sent me a screenshot about flies vomiting. He said, we all know the classic line, don't eat that. When a fly lands on your food, it pukes, or poops, excuse me. Another common thought is that a fly will vomit every time it lands on your food, which is actually probably true. Flies don't have the ability to choose. They will throw up enzymes to dissolve any food they're about to eat to liquefy it, as mentioned previously.
Here's my favorite thing you've said in a long time. When it lands, it pukes. It poops. Excuse me.
pardon me.
I love how broadcasting professional you were about mixing up puke and poop.
Yeah. Can't mix those
you
two.
You can't give the listeners the wrong information.
No.
And then this stupid girl says puke.
Yeah, do you believe it? I'm listening to 97.1 the other day.
He just said if you couldn't speak intelligently for 60 seconds, recuse yourself.
I don't like the argument he just gave because it makes perfect sense. Mm. And now I'm like, ugh,
and then they
true.
Slurp it up. They throw up enzymes. It dissolves the food and then they slurp it.
But that, so
a cousin like that.
Therefore they consume
their own
what they leave, so it could be worse.
Yeah, they're probably actually getting all of that vomit
back
in the slurp.
Right.
Yeah, and then some food,
and
too.
I'm
some.
Fine. In fact, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we just know a science fact. Yeah.
Hey, it's better than walking across human poop in downtown St. Louis like I did today.
That was a extraordinary bummer.
I cannot believe that you couldn't discriminate whether it was human or horse. The difference is staggering.
Well, I thought it had to have been a horse because it was a large amount in clumps, and I'm like, oh, it's a horse. And then down the other collection of number two was on Olive Street, which we are on, and Dave insisted that it was a human. But it was a good amount.
Yeah.
You can see why I thought that came from an animal.
It did not taste like horse. Headlines?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. The big headline at Schnucks this week. Save money with exclusive coupons on the Schnucks Rewards app. Look for 100 new coupons every week. So since we're going to talk to Christian at 4:40 about the NBA and China and Hong Kong, all this stuff, let me offer my uninformed take on this. People are really going after LeBron James because he is so socially involved and usually has something to say whenever there's a big socio-political issue going on, but he is remaining pretty silent about Hong Kong. He was asked about it. He actually criticized the Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey as misinformed over the tweet that he sent out last week. He said, "I just think that when you're misinformed or when you're not educated about something, and I'm just talking about the tweet itself, you never know the ramifications that can happen. We all see what that did, not only for our league, but for all of us in America, for people in China as well." So people are getting very upset with LeBron and saying, what are you talking about? You're saying he doesn't know what he's saying, but you're not even saying anything about the issue. He tweeted earlier today, "Let me clear up the confusion. I don't believe there is any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that." So basically doubling down and saying, I got nothing to say about Hong Kong. But I think if anyone says anything about it, they're misinformed.
But what he is saying very clearly in there is, oh, wait a minute, man. You could have saved us all a lot of money if you waited for next week to tweet about human rights.
Yeah. I think he's a bag of crap.
Well, it's just gross because we've talked about it all last week. You've always got something to say until it hits you in the pocketbook. Yeah. And then suddenly you think everyone should be quiet.
I think LeBron is a piece of crap because, and here's why. Just be a man and say, you know what, dude, you're costing me money. I'd have so much more respect. Don't try to come off as a pseudo-intellectual statesman. Well, I think you're misinformed. And I think you don't know what level of informed this guy is. You haven't sat down with him and discussed China policy and said, oh my gosh, you're really uninformed about this. The whole thing is it's going to cost you money and standing, and you're mad at him for bringing politics up at all. However, if someone said, Trump sucks, or Republicans this, or a bunch of neo-Nazis, or America's built on slavery, I don't hear anyone saying, hey, take it down a notch, Steve Kerr, because I think you're uninformed on this and you could really ruffle some feathers. No. In fact, the NBA is celebrated for that. They're so outspoken and they're such social justice warriors and they can't get enough Steve Kerr. But when it comes to their pocketbooks, which is all it is, then LeBron's like, well, I think you're misinformed.
I agree. I like LeBron, but I agree with what you just said, that he didn't need to act like he's more informed and be condescending towards the guy, and he could have just kept his mouth shut.
Or been man enough to say, we make more money in China than in America, so let's leave China out of it. I want to keep selling shoes.
Yeah, but to say I'm not going to comment on the substance of the tweet, other people can talk about that. All right, then why are you even saying anything?
Yeah. They're in a spot with this. Because like you said, they're so outspoken and they're on the right side of all these things and we're, you know, very self-righteous. And then this happens.
Well, Steve Kerr had the balls to come out after saying, boy, it's really complicated issue. I just don't have any comment. And then like 2 days later, he was going off on Trump again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, why didn't you spend the last 2 days educating yourself about China and give us an opinion?
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
Well, everyone's mad at him, so it's not just
good.
People are pretty upset with LeBron James.
And also, it's just the attitude. It's just the attitude that if I were the LeBron James of radio and something went down and I was just like, well, look, since I'm the king here, mm-hmm. let me just say that what Convy said on Y98, I think my friend was just misinformed. Like, it's just the whole attitude.
I agree. And I, like I said, I like him, but he's way wrong on this.
They're burning his jersey in the streets of Hong Kong.
You know what?
Wow.
Again, we're going to find out at 4:40 what's actually going on, because we're all admittedly ignorant of the what's really going on. But based on what I think is going on, Hong Kong does seem like the good guys, freedom fighters, sort of like what we were a couple hundred years ago. Different, obviously. But they've got to feel so disheartened, so abandoned. They're all carrying around American flags, and we're all like, yeah, we're trying to get a trade deal and sell Nikes.
And all these people who are fighting all these other fights, fighting all these causes and fighting for human rights and stuff, and they're like, there's a lot of money. I mean, it's bad. But it's good.
It's just disappointing.
Uh-huh.
It's disappointing when people and groups turn out to be exactly what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be nice every now and then to be pleasantly surprised and have someone step up and go, look, I think what's going on in Hong Kong is awful. And if I get fired from my team or I lose my Adidas sponsorship, then that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And there's not much to compare this to. We've not seen something like that before. It's something so far away that's going on. And, and like you said, these are people that, if it was here and whatever, they're very anti-establishment, whatever it is. But it's tied to
But what we do know is that professional athletes will criticize America all day long and support kneeling in front of the flag or this or this or this or this. But an avowed communist country, they've got their back.
It's terrible.
It just blows me away.
And they should be able to complain about the things they complain about here. And that's why this is such a great place and whatever. But you can't. But man, that's a little rough when you don't get involved with what all these people are dealing with over there.
I'm seeing a lot of tweets that are like, oh, you guys are just mad at LeBron because he has a spine and he usually stands up for these things. Yeah, exactly. That's why people are upset.
Saying that to us?
No. Just Twitter in general.
Oh.
People who are defending him.
But
the only reason
use his spine.
They're saying he's held to a high standard because of in the past he has spoken out against so many things. It's like, yeah, that is the point. That is why people are asking him about this and want to know, because you set yourself in that position.
Okay, I'm not an expert on LeBron either, but has he really, like, is it really that hard when you're LeBron James to speak out on something that everyone agrees with you on?
No, it's not until it comes down to something that could actually hurt you, which is this, which is the whole point.
Let LeBron James step up and support Trump. That would take a spine. But just saying, like, Black Lives Matter or, you know, like, whatever, dude.
He's more outspoken than a lot of people are. It would be easier to be quiet on the things that he chooses to be vocal about. Because his audience, as opposed to a lot of different people, his audience is everybody. So there is an amount of bravery in being outspoken about the certain things. What would have been incredible is for him to come out on this one. When the NBA and when all these people told Daryl Morey to shut up, if LeBron came out and said, these are people, these are lives, these are things that matters, and it's okay, even if it's going to cost us money. That would have been cool. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think, for example, I don't think it takes a spine to come on 97.1 and have the back of the president.
Right.
That doesn't take a spine. If you go to the point and do it, it might, or Casey or something like that, Or if you come on 97.1 and criticize the president like I do, I think that takes the spine. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure that, and again, I'm really am talking out of my ass here and I admit it.
Mm-hmm.
But my sense is that when LeBron is taking stands, they're pretty easy stands to take.
I don't know.
No.
I agree
with Tim.
Give me
an example.
LeBron, because everyone knows LeBron James is one of the most famous athletes in the world. So like Tim said, anytime you're taking a hard stance on anything, you're risking 50% of your audience, whether or not they watch basketball. But if they buy the things you endorse or they watch, you know, he does all these commercials and stuff. If he alienates himself too much in one direction or the other, then he loses his deal with Sprite or whatever he's doing. So I think it does take courage to speak out politically ever, especially when you're not a politician.
Someone give me the last time that someone lost anything from taking a liberal position. I don't think you can. When is the last time that someone lost something by taking a liberal position?
Hmm.
Well, plenty of people say that Kaepernick doesn't play in the NFL now because he was kneeling.
No, it's crap.
Yeah, but a lot of people say that, and a lot of people believe
that. That's why he's not playing?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people agree with that. I don't know enough about the NFL at all to have a stance, but there are a lot of people who believe that.
I just don't see a lot of people losing their jobs or careers because they take liberal stances. Other than Kaepernick, who I would disagree with, but I'll give you that one. Other than that, I can't think of a single person who has lost a job or a career because they took a stance that the left would agree with. Welcome back, 430 DGS. Tim Convy sitting in with us today. We're just having a discussion / debate about LeBron and China, and I was getting ramped up and saying, like, I don't think it takes a spine to take liberal stands in America as a celebrity these days because you're not going to pay a price and name the last one. And Rach said Kaepernick, but I think he's not in the league because of talent. I think Tim disagrees. Todd called and said Kathy Griffin paid a price. I hate to keep like hedging my bets, but I think there's a difference between holding up a decapitated head of a president and taking a liberal stand. You know what I mean?
There definitely is. She was over the line, and if someone had done that with any president, it would have been completely over the line. But it also does prove that it's not like you can go as left as possible and just go
right.
Nuts.
I mean, she was super, super liberal before and had as much of a career as she'd ever had.
But she did take it to a level of
yes.
Like, oh, they'll love this. This is totally my brand.
Right.
And it 100% backfired.
Is there a mild conservative cause that someone's taken and faced consequences for? Like real, like, oh, you got fired. Mm. Mild meaning not Kathy Griffin. But
I doubt it. I'm guessing that if we're talking about like Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
it would just be more of a, oh, we're not going to use you for this project because you're a conservative.
Right.
But I can't think of a situation where someone who was successful and a big deal said something conservative, then it was like, oh, you're out.
Yeah. Or an athlete compare to LeBron, an athlete coming out and saying something. So
that has happened, and now I'm kind of brain farting, but it was one of the rookies in the NFL draft had to go back and scrub a bunch of pro-Trump stuff because he was projected to go in the top 10, but once that came out, he was less attractive.
Mm.
So
doesn't Tebow claim that he's, or did he get hurt? I don't remember. I thought it was like a big deal that he was a Christian and he felt he wasn't getting hired because of that.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, he quit football and plays baseball and he's just not very good.
He's the Kaepernick of baseball.
I don't know.
But he has a very successful broadcasting career.
Yeah.
So.
Dave Murray's with us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So today, kind of a transitional day, I guess?
Yes, absolutely. Another cold front coming through. Right now, there's some showers way out to our west. I think, again, the focus on any kind of showers will be St. Louis south. Also, a couple of small thunderstorms developing from Farmington down to about Van Buren and West Plains. The majority of the stuff is widely scattered. I don't think we see a lot in the way of shower activity this evening. But if you see a shower, last a little bit of time, not a lot of time, but a little bit of time, don't be surprised. Then the northwest flow opens up. We clear out after midnight. Temperatures drop down to 42. Tomorrow is one of these picture perfect skies. Blue, deep blue skies, northwest wind, puffy fair weather cumulus clouds in the afternoon sky, low humidity, 58. That's it for the high temperature. Looking at about 62 in sunshine on Thursday and about 70 on Friday. Sunshine.
It's great. I love it.
Beautiful. Great fall weather.
Can we talk about UFOs?
I would love to. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
It used to be, and I know that now everyone has a camera in their hand, but it used to be pretty infrequent that you would see something that was actually, okay, that's not just a hubcap someone threw and took a picture of. Now it's literally every day. Every day when I come in my show prep, there's someone with an iPhone taking pictures of something hovering and something weird and the DOD stuff coming out and NASA saying, okay, we actually found life on Mars in 1970 and we're just now kind of letting it out and realizing it. This is, to me, this is so, here's my point. Whether these are UFOs or they're terrestrial craft that we just don't know, they're not hiding. You know, mm-hmm. It's like they're just hovering above like Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And that fascinates me because if it's not just a cloud or swamp gas, if it's really a vehicle of some type that 12 different people are filming and it's doing things that conventional aircraft can't do, you wouldn't think that we'd be dumb enough to take our stealthiest stealth UFO flying saucer that we have and fly it over Disney World. And if it truly is alien life, they're very brazen.
Unless those are just the ones you see, unless we're surrounded by the...
Unless these are the idiots?
The secret ones, yeah.
These are the ones where you're just like,
yeah.
Tom!
Yeah. Like, dude, put the invisible shield up. Oh, sorry.
So there could just be thousands of them in the sky, and these are just the brain farts.
Yeah, maybe.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
That would be the one.
Because, like I always say, my theory's always been, take a scoop out of any group, and you have the same percentage of a-holes and idiots and heroes.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the same for aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aliens have to have dumbasses.
Yeah. Somebody's dad was high up at the, alien
right.
military.
The Federation.
And, yeah, he's flying one of those things around, and he wanted
like,
to...
Like, dude, we're over Orlando.
Yeah, I got to check out Disney World. It's all these people talk about. They go without their kids.
You know, I like that. Stupid aliens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones we see.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just getting cocky.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever read the book, The Borrowers?
Mm-mm.
It's about... Dave is looking at me with such disdain. It's about like little people who live in the floors of a house and they make their living.
Oh,
like
that's true.
It feels true, Dave. They go up and they sneak around and they grab little like thimbles and things and stuff from your house and then they take it down to their little borrower house and that's how they live. That's how they get all their belongings.
Do they bring it back?
The socks go. That's where all the socks go.
They're not
go.
Borrowers.
Well, it's to make themselves feel better about it. But in the book, the way they get caught is they start getting cocky and they start taking like little dollhouse furniture and stuff. And then the people notice and find them. And that's the end of the borrowers as they know it.
What happens?
They have to leave the house. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
They don't catch them.
Where do they go?
They ran out into the woods and then there were several more books in the series.
Hmm.
Huh.
But anyway, it's probably the aliens are probably like, oh, we're out here all the time. We don't need to put the invisible shield up at this point. And we're seeing them more and more.
They're like, did you read The Borrowers? Don't you know what's going to happen here?
It's exactly like The Borrowers.
When I was a kid, Dave, you'll remember this. There was a commercial for Chuck Wagon dog food. And it was a Chuck Wagon with little cowboys that would go through the kitchen and the dog would chase it. And almost catch it, but it would make it into the cabinet under the sink. And being either young and or stupid, I was convinced that this really happened. And I was fixated on buying Chuck Wagon dog food, even though we did not own a dog, because I wanted those people. And let me just be completely honest. I wanted them to enslave them. I wanted them to be my playthings. And I'm like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. And my dad's like, I'm not buying GD dog food when we don't have a dog. And he's like, why do you want it? And I can remember being in the back seat trying to cipher this one out. Like,
Should I say it?
Because either it's...
Either he'll get it.
He'll get it.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, look, we have like 18 little people in the basement. Or he'll just like turn around and smack me and say, you're the dumbest kid in the world.
I vote for that one.
Yeah, what'd you go with?
I kept quiet.
All right, that's probably.
I kept quiet. Probably. Yeah. I let it out a few years later and thinking it would be very funny, and it wasn't. He was like, wait, the Chuck Wagon commercial? Like, yeah. You mean the really bad graphics that you thought they were real? I mean, I was hoping.
I just thought it'd be funny.
But I would have. There's a Twilight Zone called The Little People where the astronauts land and they're tiny, tiny little people. And one of the astronauts loses his mind and makes himself their god and like steps on their cities and they erect a statue to him. That would have been me with the Chuck Wagon Cowboys.
You'd have loved it.
Oh, my God. I'd have been making them do stuff that was just wrong.
What's the first thing you have them do?
never thought never that mind. One out.
No, the first thing that came to my mind was just so terrible.
Yeah.
I yeah. So, take their clothes off.
Thanks, Dave.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. So, obviously, you can't turn on the television without seeing someone talking about the China situation in Hong Kong and the NBA. And I have very honestly said I know my knowledge is mud puddle deep. And so, rather than trying to pretend or fake you guys out or get called out on my lack of knowledge, I'm just going to have someone on who does know what they're talking about. So, Christian Whiten is a former State Department senior advisor in the Trump and Bush administrations, author of Smart Power: Between Diplomacy and War, and joins us now. Christian, thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Great to be here, Dave. Thanks.
So, first of all, I've never spoken to a senior advisor, and I've always wanted to ask this question. Like, in general, I know every president uses every advisor differently, but in general, I picture, like, you getting an email or a text or a call, the president would like to see you, and you go into the Oval Office, and he says, Christian, I'm thinking about XYZ, what do you think? Is that anywhere near what your job was like?
You know, I was over at the State Department. I was a political appointee in both Bush and Trump administrations. But, of course, being out at an agency as opposed to the White House, your ultimate principal, well, not your ultimate principal, it's always the president, but your sort of most immediate principal would be a Secretary of State. And so when your subject area comes up, you know, the principals at departments rely on a lot of people. You have people who are sort of the permanent bureaucrats there at the State Department, that's the Foreign Service, at the military, that's the Pentagon, that's the uniformed military. And then there are political appointees like us who can bring in sort of a different perspective and are a little closer to the politics of the of the administration and the president.
Okay, I don't know if this question will even make logical sense, but having been there, would you think that the whole D.C., White House, secretaries, that whole world is closer to our world than we think when we go to work and we got coworkers and there's Ned with the coffee and office politics? Or is it just the difference between, you know, Earth and Venus?
No, there are some similarities like that, just as you described the office dynamics. Things are honestly a little slower in those bureaucracies. You see, I mean, there's some with an elite sort of reputation, like, you know, the E-ring of the Pentagon, the seventh floor of the State Department, the FBI, as opposed to, say, the Department of Motor Vehicles. But you have bureaucracy nonetheless. You have career people who oftentimes cannot be fired. Sometimes, you know, if you want to be aggressive and someone is really doing a bad job or really working against what the president or the secretary wants, you can move them to a different portfolio. You can move them to the FOIA office where they handle sort of mundane paperwork as opposed to policy. So it's very similar, but perhaps a little bit slower and more lethargic than the private sector.
Interesting. So help us understand, go as basic or 101 as you feel necessary to help my audience understand what's going on between China and Hong Kong.
Well, basically, you know, Hong Kong is essentially a Western city. It was part of Great Britain, a British colony for years and years and years. And when the Brits went into the 19th century, they took Hong Kong, and it was supposed to be in perpetuity. However, later they annexed something called the New Territories, which is just north of Hong Kong Island. Basically, they needed it because you needed the water in order to have a territory that's self-sustaining. And for that, they agreed to a 99-year lease. Well, that lease actually came up in 1997. So ahead of that, about a decade and a half before that, when Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister of Britain, they realized, well, this date is coming up. We're going to have to turn over part or all of Hong Kong. You know, we made this deal with the previous government, not the Communist Party that runs China now, but we made it with Imperial China. But nonetheless, you know, the Brits basically decided, okay, I guess, yeah, we're going to hand over the whole thing. But they did try to secure some rights and freedoms for the people of Hong Kong. They weren't going to let them move to Great Britain. They didn't give them full citizenship. They didn't give them full democracy, but they had started to give them democracy. And setting that aside, they had a lot of parts of freedom, if you will, aside from democracy. They had the rule of law. Hong Kong was an amazingly clean, non-corrupt place. And just like in the U.S. or Britain, you could go in and have a grievance redressed, if you will, by a court. You could have a contract enforced. The police weren't crooked. They weren't asking for bribes, things like that. So China agreed to something called One Country, Two Systems, where it said, okay, yeah, you're going to become part of communist China, but we're going to agree that basically you have autonomy for at least 50 years. You have the rule of law and autonomy you had, and also they agreed to progress toward democracy. That was supposed to happen by 2012, but slowly over time, China has been reneging on these promises and eroding the freedom that Hong Kong has. And, you know, it's one thing for people who have never known freedom, like mainland China, to say, well, you can't have democracy, you can't have the rule of law, and you got to do what the party says. But when you start taking freedom away from people who have it, you know, the word was for a long time, well, Hong Kong is just interested in making money. Those people, they don't really care about freedom and democracy. But what we've seen over the last time since summer, the last several months, is actually they do. They're willing to fight for the freedom they have. And so this place that supposedly only cared about money and that was going to gradually erode into a regular Chinese city is putting up a fight, mostly a nonviolent fight, although there is some confrontation. And, of course, that's what you see in the media. And so that's sort of the situation in a nutshell.
Okay, so is what China wants just, hey, Hong Kong, you're just us. Shut up. You're just like everyone else in China. Is that their proposal?
In effect, of course, they're world lead liars. And, of course, they're saying, oh, you know, we're still all for one country, two systems. We're still adhering to what we agreed to, what we said. And if you go back and look at it in black and white, no, they are not doing that. And China wants to have its cake and eat it, too. You know, Hong Kong works even before the handover. It's a way for money to go in and out of China. Mm-hmm. You know, China's currency, they want it to be a world currency, but it's not. It's controlled. Their currency controls. It has a range where it can trade in. So Hong Kong has been a conduit from a closed communist system to the world. It's very beneficial to China. It's beneficial to people who want to trade with China. And that, frankly, is why they haven't just invaded, like with Tiananmen Square, with a military massacre. They want to preserve that sort of piggy bank for themselves, but erode political freedom.
And, Christian, is there anything more to the kerfuffle with the NBA than just, hey, we make billions and billions of dollars, and so everyone shut up about Hong Kong?
Yeah, it's sort of sad, but also it's almost the gift that keeps on giving to the NBA what it's done. I think it's so over the top. You know, one person did the right thing and said, yeah, we're Americans. Of course we're going to root for people who are struggling nonviolently for their freedom, especially they're not asking us for military assistance or financial assistance. They just want our moral support. Okay, yeah, give it to them. And what the sort of reaction was to this today with LeBron James, you know, all these people who frankly could take risks. I mean, they have all the money in the world. And they don't. They are just craven and willing to really kowtow to China, to the Communist Party, for a few extra bucks. The funny thing is, often they don't even get as rich as they think. So many companies have thought, oh my God, 1.3 billion consumers in China, how can we not do that? I've talked to Fortune 10 CEOs who said, you have to have a strategy to go to China. Well, I said, lo and behold, if your company ever becomes successful enough or big enough, the Chinese will take it from you. That's what they do. So not only are these companies and sports leagues selling out, they're not even getting what they think they're getting.
Yeah, interesting. Christian, is there a better place to find your book than others?
Well, no, actually, you know, just Google or Amazon is one thing. I'm on Twitter, Christian Whiten, and yeah, that's where it is.
Very good. I'd love to have you back on. I'd love to have you be our go-to person for this kind of stuff. That you make it very easy. Christian Whiten, author of Smart Power Between Diplomacy and War. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. Look forward to it. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.